Oh, it's just gone mad tonight. We've been on here since about 5:45, 6:45, getting everything straightened out. The second we go live, it just
It just
falls
fell
over.
apart.
But that being said, we're talking about bi-directional RCBOs. We've got some news to cover tonight, and we've got Davo Savo in, who's heavily drinking as usual, to talk about some of the more technical aspects. Jamie probably invented the RCBO, but we'll find out in a minute after the sponsor ads. Verso, top circuit protection. Their fuse boards are pound for pound the best on the market at the moment. I don't think you're going to get a better deal on them. I don't think there's a better make out there at the moment, pound for pound. So, fuse board, they've had a couple of price rises since January. So they're not as,
Allegedly.
well, it's not allegedly, it's
No,
a
it's
fact.
not allegedly the price rise.
Yeah, so it's a fact. And yeah, so they're not as cheap as they used to be. And Verso are just killing it at the moment. There's a lot of innovation going on at Verso HQ. There's a lot of stuff going to be coming out this year that's very exciting. And no, they did not die. Jamie.
Well, I'm with my little version of Carnegie here, but I've got enough power to get up the Chevron Arnoux ads. Chevron Arnoux are your go-to if you want to measure something or energy log something or analyze something. They also do a range of test gear for you normal sparkers who just want like multimeters and stuff like that. If you're going to buy some test gear, jump online, check out their website, see what they do, see if they do what you want. And if they are, give them a try. Let them know I personally sent you, not Sam, and I'll get a massive kickback with my discount. No, not really, I've got a discount code, but yeah, give them a bash. My promise to you is you will get the same service I get. And if you don't, tell me and we'll call them out on this podcast live. That's how positive they are about their excellent quality service. So thank you for Chevron Arnoux for sponsoring the show. And we'll move on.
No, Sam has not been fake tanning Simon Lane. I've just been out in the sun all day.
Shall we explain that? We'll explain it before the news starts, yeah? Tonight, we have got some new IT. We've both got new IT. So I found a load of computers in a skip. So
You
now the
did.
entire podcast is being run. I found a load of old point of sale stuff in a skip. So you'll see a picture there of the stuff I've got. I've now got two desktops running. I've posted one to Sam in the post, which is why the pictures look different and Sam looks like he's got a tan. It's just that the picture quality is so good, you can see his dirty Kent face. So all the teething problems from tonight, although we've tried all this stuff out, as soon as we got online, we're like, oh, that's not quite right. That's not quite right. That's not quite right. So bear with us. This one may be carnage. And then just to add to that, Dave Savory's got his Wi-Fi off. I don't know. Book some.
He got it
What is
from the
it?
center aisle Audi.
He's got it from Wish. Dave Savory's on Wish.com Wi-Fi, and he's froze again. So now we're really panicking. What you can't tell is that we're really panicking right now. But no matter what happens, we're live now, so we've got to power on through it, and maybe we'll roll on to the news. What do you reckon, Sam?
Yeah, go on, hit the news, mate. Let's see what we got on the schedule tonight.
So yeah, I currently got you to do something then so I could have a drink because like I'm proper media trained now. News number one. This is quite serious, yeah, putting it in there because we
Ooh.
are pumping it out. I'm trying to keep it up. Josh Junior's back.
Throwing in the money into the ring.
David Savory's just gone. So we're just going to roll with the news and see if David Savory can sort out his life. It was all perfect till 5 minutes went online. Yeah, this is a serious one. This window cleaner, so not a proper tradesman, but you have to feel for him. He had a 33,000 volt shock in someone's garden. Obviously, nowadays, this house is everywhere. And this house, I think it might have been like countryside thing, a bit of a legacy item. There was a set of three 33,000 volt cables running across the garden. He decided to go out the back gate with his ladders, got a 33,000 volt shock. Lost part of his arm. I can't put the old news article to BBC, but lost part of his arm and left two dead patches of grass where his feet were in contact with the ground.
Yeah, but he's lucky to be alive.
He's lucky to be alive, although he has got his lower arm totally missing because it basically cooked it and they cut it off to save the rest of his arm. But just one, yeah. Anywhere, there's two things, yeah. If you're anywhere near power lines, just keep away from them.
How high was his ladders, though, bruv?
I think I should have researched this, but generally you want to be about 1 meter away per 1,000 volts, and I bet you he weren't 33 meters away.
No, is
That's
it that bad?
it's not that bad. That's the general rule, but a 33,000 volt pylon will be about, I don't know, a 9 meter pole, 10 meter pole. Not much bigger than 11 kV, but they'll look
That's
considerably
lies,
thicker.
man. When you see them pylons, right?
No, Wooden ones, poles. So
Oh, what?
33,000 volt is the last voltage that will go on a wooden pole.
Is it really?
So a wooden pole is 11,000, low voltage, 11,000 volts, 33,000 volts. And you can tell because they'll have, I think they'll have a longer bit of metal to keep the cables apart, but 33,000 volts, last voltage before you go into a tower, which is a metal gantry one. But it was running through the
Wait,
garden of the establishment.
9 meters, that's not that far.
You're 2 meters, you're say a human's 2.5 meters high, worst case scenario, absolute worst case scenario. If you go trundling around the garden with your ladder's not vertical, they're not on your shoulder like you traditionally carry ladders, but up in the air a bit, you're gonna be too close. And I think this was a case of direct contact. I don't think it arced. I think it jumped across. So yeah.
Wait, how fuming are you going to be if that's how you go out?
The problem is if you're working with ladders, you should know to check. Complacency is the thing, but yeah, the rules are if you're near pylons, don't go any higher than yourself. And if you're going to dig, because obviously the cable's on the ground, there's a line called, I think it's called Think Before You Dig. You can ring a number and say, I'm digging here, what's the crack? And you give them a postcode or what 3 words, and they'll tell you, yay or nay. Like, don't worry too much. Dave is now back. But yeah,
Yeah, but he's not.
sit.
Look how bad it is. It's so jittery. Use your phone,
Oh, I'm
say.
on 4G now. Is this on the phone? This isn't the fucking phone. We'll roll with it. But yeah, if you're going to go near power, always do your due diligence. Yeah, check around. Is there a power line? Is there any cables underground? Because, yeah, this guy's lost the bottom half of his arm. So, yeah, just watch out. And on that bombshell, next one.
Yeah, no, that's wild though. Can you imagine, like, just walking around your garden with some ladders, hit that, and all of a sudden you've blown your arm off? I'd be fuming with myself.
The thing with towers is and pylons is they sit there doing nothing for the majority of the time, and then you suppose you have a crazy moment like, oh, just test out my cart and my fishing rod, and next thing you know, you're in hospital waking up from losing 33 kV. So yeah, it'll go down a kite string. I'm sure someone's seen all the old adverts and stuff. Next one, big shout out to our loyal viewer Sean Dempsey. He's been in the woods a bit this week. He's on the mend now. He tells me, if anyone's out there and you've got him on Instagram. Have a little chat with Sean, cheer him up a bit. He's had a little operation, and we just want to give our I don't know, thoughts and prayers, Sean. Yeah,
Get back,
like for
get well soon.
thoughts and prayers. Like it if you like this video. That's a prayer for Sean Dempsey and a like. So yeah, get well soon, Sean.
What
And
about
the
Sean?
last
Sorry to
one.
hear in the woods.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you for joining in. Dave's back. This one. Did anyone have? Is anyone sick to death of the Aurora or the Northern
No,
Lights? It's
I'm
called.
not. I'm fuming I didn't see it. But now I found out, because I was watching like my phone earlier on, that you couldn't really see it anyway. You had to see it on your phone. So what's the fucking point in that?
Well, funnily enough, I put this in because I've worked on it, so I know quite a bit about it. It was not. People put all the pictures on that. Does anyone? I thought I'd just put an electrical thing in it. You know, eventually, you know this effect that causes these beautiful lights to be in the
Yeah.
sky. Eventually, there'll be a really big solar flare, and it'll wipe out every bit of electrical stuff and electronics on the planet and kill us all and take us back to the dark ages. So I just thought I'd drop that
Well,
in.
you say that happened in Canada, like in the 1920s or something, didn't it?
It did, and literally the pylons was just on about will just explode because the electromagnetic field is so hardcore, it just
Yeah, but it won't wipe
causes it.
us out. It'll just mash up all the electrical stuff, and then we'd have to build it again. It ain't that deep.
Oh no, it won't kill a
And a
human.
lot of stuff is protected against it already.
Not anything that anyone's got the normal house. Like if they have a really big solar flare, your internet's going off, everything's going off, your phones are going to be gone. And can you imagine like trying to retool up to make everyone new phones, Wi-Fi? Telephone exchanges, transformers, and all that. So, if you're interested in that kind of thing, have a Google on it because it makes you feel really sad. Because if it does happen, we're all going to die.
What's Savo's opinion on this? He just stand there like a melon.
I think it's already fucking with my Wi-Fi, as Dan Graves in the comments says it's the Borealis is ballsing up my signal at the moment. But I'm gutted I missed it though. But like you say, the trouble is you see all these pictures on Facebook or whatever, and I'm sure it didn't look like that. They've been
It
fucking
didn't.
photoshopped to the max,
It's just
filtered.
that your camera will pick up more light than your eye. So you do see like a
Yeah.
haze in the UK, but your camera obviously makes it look great. But it's like, I'm bored of it now. Like,
I went to Iceland on December the 10th, a couple of years ago.
what, the supermarket or the country?
Went to the supermarket to meet your mum. Anyway, we went out there for my wife's birthday, and it was the hottest year on record. It rained the entire time, not even snowed, and there was no Northern Lights. I was fuming.
Rot.
Cool story, bro.
Yeah, I know, right? Savo, do you think you're back in the land of living now? Do you think you're going to be able to partake in this podcast?
I don't know. I'm getting a lot of breakup here. I don't know how I'm coming across. Am I coming in your ears?
not from that distance, you're not, but we'll go with it. So, yeah. I'd put money on it. It would have been all RRT fading, but it's not. It's Dave, so yeah.
I know. Dave, have you thought about doing this instead? Because it might be... What you might want to do is Zoom on your actual phone.
I don't know why you've got me on anyway, because someone like Mark Allison would be a better guest for this sort of
thing. Yeah, he weren't available.
He weren't available,
that's
bro.
Why you're... He's at a family barbecue. Hi, Mark. So we thought we'd get you on, because, Dave, did you not used to work in IT for the NHS?
That was a long time ago.
That's when they used... That's when they had dot matrix printers.
They're still using the RT day fitters.
Well, IT was fine until I'd started talking to you assholes. I think I've caught some kind of virus or something over this interweb thing.
Maybe the Aurora is particularly strong around your area, but you won't give away in case you get some stalkers around your house.
Well, the thing is, me and you have both got a hardwired connection. It might just be, like, because my internet's been playing up all day in terms of when I'm streaming stuff. It's very annoying.
My new laptop doesn't have a fucking hardwired connection. I've got to use some kind of dongle thing.
You what? You're doing this on a new laptop? This is a new laptop. Well, yeah, it is what it is. We live and learn, but because we're live, we just have to power on. So
hold on a minute. Someone said, should have taken your tramadol with you to Iceland, Sam. Well, guess what?
Stephen,
I've had a week of that, thanks.
And the Southern Lights. Right then, we've got to get into the weeds on this one. We are for some reason, there's not been a lot of talk about this. We're going to talk about... Why you got? What's that face for? That's my logo.
Why have you put that up?
It's the brand. It's double-ended RCDs, isn't it? No one's got a logo, so I thought I'd make my own. I don't know what your problem is. That's a good logo.
You've got to make it bright purple. It's the wrong colour.
Yeah, but I was thinking about the printing, because if you look at an MCB and RCD, it is all in black in it, so I thought I'd just make it like that. Anyway, Sam, why are you so shocked?
I don't know. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you a 5-year-old or some shit?
That's a genuine logo. People, you know, all logo. You don't see a man on a blue sign walking across a crossing. It looks like a man on a blue sign walking across a crossing. So I thought, double-ended RCDs, RCD, and a double-ender. What is it to get mixed up? I am sure the IT are going to rip that off my hands, copyright that. If Will puts that on his products, he'd be laughing, wouldn't he? He'd sell loads of RCBOs or whatever they are.
What I have to deal with. Do you know what? This is what I have to deal with.
I can't believe you don't like my logo. I know you're the artwork man of this production, but I just thought you'd really appreciate that. It's like, it's very, very clear and concise and tells you exactly what's going on.
But... So, also, just a quick thing. We might have to do that on a T-shirt.
Well, now you've changed to now there's some money involved, haven't you? Because you're a sellout advertising bastard. But anyway, I can't believe we're first on this. Well, not first, but not a lot of people have been talking about it. It's the new Amendment 3's come out. For one reg, it's literally one reg, and it's that you've got to use double-ended RCDs when you are connecting to anything that generates. So your PV, maybe your EV if it's bidirectional, if your car gets energy to your house, and PV, EV, battery. And there's one reg that says you shall use double-ended RCDs if
you are connected. Don't say double-ended, though.
That's what they're called.
No, they're not.
No, they are definitely called double-ended RCDs by proper Sparkies. So, yeah, you've got to use them.
There is a change in part two definitions to talk about this stuff as well, and what bidirectional and unidirectional means. I don't think they mentioned double-ended.
I'm sure it's double-ended.
Certainly haven't seen that logo in the DPC, but, well, put a comment on the DPC to say this ought to be the logo and see if IET bite.
I'm going to put my comments after this, but my point is that it's a little bit of a snide one, yeah, because if I install the concept of a double-ended RCD into everyone on this podcast and someone's having a serious conversation somewhere that maybe a member of the IT somewhere accidentally let it slip out, it'll just be funny. So we've gone with double-ended. I think everyone should call them double-enders. That seems to be the idea in the chat as well. But the regs say...
I spoke to Will from Verso this week, like I do most weeks, trying to sort stuff out. And he said... that this was a massive non-issue, because before, when there was the first round of solar going in, mm-hmm. most MCBs were already bi-directional.
Yes,
So
that is
when
true.
you so and the product had an RCD in it anyway, so it didn't matter. And
This is true.
so the regulation is telling you that you need to put an RCBO when you could just put an MCB because it's already RCD protected in the thing. I
First of
might balls
all,
that up.
stop coming out with fucking good stuff. I keep telling you, yeah. So you've nicked something there that's coming late. So first of all, the only good video I've seen that explains it clearly is Will's from Verso, right? And he don't pay me. I don't get out of it. Genuinely, I've done the
Don't pay
content. I've
me
looked at it
either.
all. That one is the best video for Sparks I've seen thus far. Yeah, unless Dave decides to do one. Depends how much can drink. But that video is there, and I would highly recommend you watch that. It is very precise and clear. For the normal working Sparky, what they've got to do. And he covers a lot of things. The issue I've got is the people that are pushing this reg have made it say you shall use double-ended RCDs. And that is, there's nothing wrong with them. They work. And in certain requirements for the design, they are absolutely what you need. The problem is when they word it as you shall use double-ended RCDs, they don't say when they're actually required. Because you can use a normal MCB if there's no need for RCD protection in this situation. So Will covers it a lot in his video, but I just think that the main point of the pod is, and what we're getting at is, it seems like the manufacturers of these things are writing this reg, and it's very skewed towards to like confuse people thinking, oh, I'll just use one anyway. That's what
So
it seems like to me.
is this the same thing as when Hager done the 5x RCD test?
There is rumors allegedly, that Hager lobbied through Beamer to lobby J-PAL to get in the regs the 5x RCD removed. And now the rumor is that Hager have lobbied through Beamer and some other people to get this put into the regs. That's the word in the street. Obviously, none of them will comment because they won't comment. We've asked for comment and we don't get it. But it just seems odd wording, I think. And odd. Let's run out an amendment really quickly. Let's release it on the website and forget to put the documentation on there. Let's reduce the period where electricians can reply from 12 weeks to 4, I think it is, because a manufacturer or a group of manufacturers told us we should.
Savo, I feel like you've got something to say about this.
I don't know. It's funny because you go to the IT website. I went on there yesterday to look at the DPC. I couldn't find the fucking DPC or any link to it. They got a load of
They
stuff
cocked
about Lego and kids. It's
it
fucking
up.
weird.
You
You know,
what?
you go on there. It's like I said, it's just full of Lego and children. It's like, hang on a second, is this Toys R Us or IET? There's nothing for the DPC there. If you search for DPC, you're getting a result either. But I did manage to find it and take a look. The trouble is that I find it, I don't know, with manufacturers, it pisses me off a little bit in that you get them coming along saying things like, we can't install Type A C anymore. Type A C are bad. You've got to be installing Type A now. It's like, we've been installing Type A C for ages because that's what you told us to install. And that was nothing new. I've got MEMS stuff over there that's 20 years old that's Type A. Then Eaton, when they took over MEMS, dropped that line and just put in Type A C. And now they're coming on saying, oh, well, you know what? We shouldn't be installing unidirectional. We should be installing bidirectional on anything, the back feeds. PV, battery, generation, this stuff. None of this is new. I've had solar on my house for 10 years now. So what? Are the manufacturers being caught off guard? They're not thinking about how these things are used? How come it's suddenly a problem? Or is there some, have there been some kind of sort of
He's gone.
impacted this
That's a
being a
that
problem? I
he's
don't know.
gone. That's not dissimilar to our part this week. I said in the good old days we had fuses and overcut protection and that, yeah, and they were fine. Then at MCBs, no one would argue they weren't an improvement on fuses in certain in the majority of situations. An MCB is an improvement on a fuse, yeah, because it's resettable. Then RCDs came out, and I would argue that they are a great thing that came along, yeah. Then we started getting like A's and C's and D's and B's and Z's. You're like, oh, where are we going here? Then AFDDs come out, and you're thinking, off the back of Grenfell, like, oh, we're selling us this now. This is a new thing because that got pushed in by the manufacturer. So now they found something else to sell. And then you think, what are they going to try and sell us next?
So
And
I don't
suddenly
mind. I don't
it's
mind.
bi-directional.
I don't mind innovation in any way, shape, or form. But this isn't innovation. What we seem to be seeing from like the reg changes and the IET is like they keep It's like the fuse boards. They was metal, then they was plastic, then they was metal. And I guarantee the next one, they'll be plastic again for some whatever reason, or made out of some sort of plastic that's not quite plastic or something. It just is, they keep doing this, whereas and mandating things that you probably don't really need to.
I'll just dive into the chat because Mark.
You mentioned Grenfell there.
Go on, save us, mate. Go on.
Save it first.
Okay, I was just going to say, you mentioned Grenfell there, and obviously Grenfell is a bit of a driver for AFDDs, probably. But it's a sticking plaster solution because, okay, Grenfell started by an electrical fault, but Grenfell could just as easily have been started by a discarded cigarette. The problem with Grenfell wasn't necessarily the source of the ignition. It was the fact that there was no fire suppression system and they covered the fucking building in flammable plastic.
Absolutely. So, you know, and no compartmentalisation. But manufacturers have jumped on that to sell products. They don't mention it by name, but they do.
Yeah.
I think
there's a bit of fuckery when it comes to manufacturers trying to sell their stuff. But that's their business to sell stuff. What isn't nice is when they use situations to sell their stuff.
Mm.
From like this moral high ground. Oh, you've got to use it because of this, this, and this. I hate all that. Just be honest. You want us to buy this because of this reason. It works in this scenario. Like, don't mandate it like in some sort of fuckery. I hate that. I hate all that sort of nonsense. So this bidirectional, what is the point of a bidirectional RCBO?
So well, I'll just read from Mike. Mike's electrical stuff, who absolutely knows what he's doing electrical-wise, is in the comment chat. I'd just check out his YouTube, it's really good. He says, the issue with RCDs is for the test button, they connect a resistor across the sensing transformer, but the rate of the resistor assumes it will disconnect on the trip. And what happens is when you get this backwards flow, it burns that resistor out, it could damage it. That is an inherent design failure of the manufacturers. And I did a video of this, and I said, they've now, you know, prosumer was in the regs 2 years ago, so we knew there was going to be backwards and forward stuff. They've put RCBOs out that aren't capable of handling these generation things, and now they've gone, oh, guess what, kids? We've made one that doesn't break when you use it backwards, but that's our job. They're selling us this like it's some great innovation. It's not. It's just them correcting the balls that they've made because they failed to recognise that prosumerism is a thing, even though it got put in the regs 2 years ago.
Why does it have to go backwards and forwards, though?
Because if your inverter's not generating at night, it takes a little bit of power to run. And then when your PV comes in the day, it pumps the electricity back, so it goes both ways with the RCD in essence. And
obviously, but why do you need to protect going back to the grid?
You don't. I know what you're saying. You're protecting the RCD item from the source, but a lot of the time, like on a battery example, you take a load of power one way to the battery, they take a load of power back. You're not RCD protecting the power.
Yeah, but why are you RCD protecting the battery from the solar?
Because you're not. Say it's just a battery outside your house and you've got a cable going to it. You're RCD protecting a big lump of metal outside your house when it's being powered, but it's charging.
That makes sense.
But the fact that they knew they was going to get used for that kind of application like battery power 2 years ago, but 2 years ago prosumer went in the regs, and then they failed to make their RCDs comply because it would have cost them money. They wouldn't have been competitive against someone not doing it. To be fair, Proteus did it before anyone. I just cracked on doing it. They didn't like make a big song and dance about it. They just did it.
I don't like to say this, but Proteus are quite good at getting ahead of the curve because I feel like they're one of them. Like they don't. I think they're quite good at turning things around quickly.
I'd agree. I think they're a good manufacturer. I think the metals on the board's a bit too thin for my liking, but Proteus have done this years ago. Mark's been used for a long time. We'll rave about them. And the thing is, they didn't. I don't think they're particularly going, oh, look what we got. Blah, blah, blah. They just like did it and went, there's a problem there. Here's a solution. We'll make one. But it seems like I've had a couple of reports this week that Hager have been ringing up a lot of sparks and saying, guess what we've got coming out? Bidirectional double-ended RCDs. And then suddenly it's the reg. So like, I'm guessing some manufacturers could push harder.
Let me just check if I've got any missed calls from them.
I've had three individual sparkies.
Proteus have done some stuff with eFix, though, haven't they, showing their bidirectional stuff?
I think they have recently because it's going to be a bigger seller for them, undoubtedly. But when they brought them out 2 years ago, they didn't particularly go mad about it. They said, oh, you know, a gap in the market. We've got a product for that. I don't find it to be like very... They're not a bad firm, but I don't find them like, look at us, look how great we are. You know what I mean? They just sort of go, oh, there's
well, you can't
that.
Say
we'll
they've been on eFix, haven't they? So they are shouting about it.
They are now, but when they brought them out, I don't think they're particularly raving about it. You know what I mean? But they've got some good products on that kind of weird switchgear range. To be honest,
listen, I'm the least technical spark in the world. What if you've got? Isn't there an issue? So this is just a bit of a different thing. This is a bit of a learning moment for me. You know, when you've got an RCD in a device, and then you've got your RCD on the board, isn't that a problem?
So, say again, just repeat that.
So you've got an RCD,
like an EV charger.
Yeah. Like, aren't you meant to have one on, to have it on an MCB if it's already got a mechanical RCD in the charger?
Oh, this the problem is, and what you said is, there's loads of design options. So there's loads of ways of doing it. You can use armored cable and not have to use an RCD. So there's loads of different design options, which is what the Spark should consider. So, yeah.
But go on, Dave. Dave knows. Yeah. Dave knows. Let Dave answer. You don't know. You didn't work on it, prick.
I didn't work on that one.
I don't know. I think he covered this in a recent video, didn't he? I remember fitting an ICS charger, and they had supposedly got RCD protection within the charger. I spoke to their technical support. This is very similar to the Zappy story that you've been covering. And yeah. Said, so if you've got it in your charger, does that mean I don't need to install it at the board? Oh, yeah, it's fine. And this is what ICS told me verbally. Of course, I've got no proof because it was a verbal conversation. But then you have this situation with Sota Electrical, where he fitted Zappy chargers without upfront protection and got told that, or his customer got told that it was a non-compliant installation.
Yeah, isn't that because it's it's a digital RCD.
Because it's electronic rather than electromechanical. Yeah. What was the question?
Remember, there was a reg put in, I can't remember exactly what it was, in this edition that says, manufacturer's instructions trump the regs. And that was basically rammed in by appliance manufacturers, the kind of people that make washing machines, coffee machines, all that. They got that rammed in there. So now we've got a really weird situation where the manufacturers of protective equipment are saying, you shall use an RCD when there's a chance of backwards and forwards. Then we've got another reg that says, follow manufacturer's instructions. Then we've got manufacturers that don't want to put anything in the instructions because they want the electrician to design it. Then the electrician say, well, I've got to use because it says a shall. And it's becoming too specific to in what is a very fluid situation of design and...
Yeah, this was the problem I had with ICS, is that there wasn't any instructions, and I'm second-guessing what I'm having to do, which pissed me off a bit. I made a video about it, but never edited it in the end. But to answer your question, which has just come back to mind, it's not a problem if you go and stick an upfront device in something like a car charger, if it's supposedly got the same protection built in. I mean, it's just... You know, it's kind of belt and braces, isn't it? If one doesn't work, then you can rely on the other, perhaps. But what we're talking about here is something slightly different. We're talking about specifically installations that are sending power the other way, which might happen with a car charger. But talking more sort of solar battery, that sort of stuff.
I'm not sure demanding certain protective devices, though, is good for design, like enabling free design on things. It just sort of... We're going to get a situation in 10 years' time. They go, oh, it says you shall use this, but there's a better thing now. So now we need to get rid of that reg and say you shall use this. Whereas design should be for designers, not just we don't want loads of shalls in the reg. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, because it's too specific for niche applications. That makes sense.
That's but you can.
The whole problem with this sort of thing is it's an open door for the EICR cowboys to come along and go, whoa, we're going to C2 that. What did I have a C2 on recently? It was something funny. I was a Type A CRCD was in use on a circuit that had LED lighting on it, and someone would C2'd that, and it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, come on. But, you know,
that
this
is
sort
a
of
big problem.
Happens.
Go on, mate, finish.
No, I was just going to say, you're going to get now a load of C2 cowboys who come along and automatically write off anything that's unidirectional, whether it's back on a backfeeding circuit or not. And
as I read it,
causing customers to shit their pants.
On that point, as I read it, say you've gone and done a battery or solar install, say you've got 50 solar and battery installs out there, yeah, and you've put them in with RCDs or MCBs, whatever. Let's say you've used MCBs and you've complied so you can use an MCB, yeah. When it gets the ICR from now on, because it says you shall, you're going to get your jobs that were done right on the day, they're going to get snagged and come up as C2s, and that needs replacing. And that, I think that's the problem. I think that's going to make a lot of people look like they didn't know what they were doing.
Well, do you know, this is a thing that annoys me, is what does non-compliant mean? So when my energy have said, oh, that installation is non-compliant. Non-compliant with what?
The regs,
I'm guessing. Yeah, but the regs are a guideline, aren't they? So you don't have to do what the regs say, as long as it's safe and it's not lashing.
Well, yeah, that whole my energy thing was nonsense, because that was never a warranty issue anyway. Just because Sotra had fitted an MCB and not an RCBO up front or an RCD up front, that had fuck all to do with the fact that the charger wasn't working. It wasn't a device that caused the charger to fail, its emission or presence or whatever. They were just using it as some kind of bullshit wiggle out.
But these are the things that annoy me, is when people go, oh, it's illegal to do that, or
no, it's, never
it's not compliant. No, it's just bollocks. Like, the regs are a guideline, aren't they? Like, you don't have to do what they say in the regs. You can deviate from the regs using your engineering judgment.
Honestly, why do you have to? You're meant to be the silly guy.
I've had to do learning.
Sam knows all about deviating from the regs.
You can.
Sam deviates from the regs all the time.
Is this reg?
It's all right. It's all right, Gavner. I can do it.
I can't put it on the screen because I can't put the reg on the screen because the IT has specifically said you can't do that. Also, copyright, bless you. But
who
is put the IT? They've literally put in the draft comment. The first line says, "Don't reproduce these regs." So, copy it as a screenshot.
Do it.
Is this going to make it safer, or is this going
listen?
To make it...
Do it now.
I think I'll find it if we can find the link. Is this? And I want the chat to get involved in this. Is this going to make it safer, or is this just complicating things more for proper sparkies to do jobs at a reasonable rate, whilst enabling backdoor shit asses to ram in crap that just works and customers don't know any better? Because your customer's never going to see this reg or know about it when you're competing with someone on the same cost.
Yeah, but you know what? There's always a risk of when you're doing work on someone's house that another electrician goes around and goes, oh, well, that's not to the regs. And it's like, yeah, but what are you taking the whole... Like, there's always some... Like, electricians are... just love to snag other people's work.
Oh, you've got to fucking log in
work.
To get it. You've got to log in to get it. Fucking hell, IT. Don't put it... Why have I got to sign in? Just put the PDF up, you fucking morons. Honestly.
Yeah, but here's the thing,
Dave, that sounds like he's in a tumble dryer. But yeah, I've actually got the reg somewhere. I've got the reg, I've copied it out. But yeah, IT, why are you making me log in? Is it? Why do you want every Sparky's details? Why don't you put the PDF up there like you used to? It's ridiculous.
They can't tell us not to put something up. Who are they?
Dave's gone now. Well, they've said I can't find the link because the website is so shit for searching.
Blank
this.
Out one word.
It says literally right. So I'm going to read it out. Yeah, so it suits audio viewers as well. Yeah, it says updates 18th edition. It says the updates are published, and then the straight away first thing before they even tell you about anything is copyright of updates. No further electronic copy is permitted without written permission. However, you are created to link a web link to this page, for which people can select to download the document. So you can't put a picture of this reg up. You've got to go to the website, fill in all your personal details and download it yourself. Why? How is that helping get the reg out there?
What if you wrote it down?
It doesn't help circulating among sparkers by making you log in and get it, does it? It's just a
pain in the ass. Hager bi-directional RCBOs are 20 quid now as well.
It says here, the amendment follows a bulletin from Beamer, which is aimed to clarify the difference between to collect for undirectional and bi-directional RCBOs. But yeah, but I can't get the link. I don't think it's working. I've got to log in. I will tell you. That's a corangum. Yeah, they're just making it really hard to get your hands on. It's just like, if anyone's got the thing, I can't even read it out because I ain't got it. I don't even know if I'm allowed to read it out without you going and putting all your details in. But it's a really bad, fast and slunging. If you slung in gear like this as a sparker, you wouldn't get any work.
To be fair, though, it's out for public comment, isn't it?
Yes, and what we're trying to do on this podcast is encourage people, normal sparkers, to comment.
Yeah, so, like, it doesn't mean it's in. It just means it's up for public comment, and they're hopefully take into consideration what people are saying.
Here's my 10p on that, yeah? They are not going to ram this through, but someone might get the wording changed. This is pretty much
the
wording regs.
It'll be there'll be a new mention in there. I've just let Savo back in. I don't know what he's doing.
It's carnage. But there's not even a link to this on this thing. Oh, I've got to go to the BSR development portal and log in, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's a bit of a pain in the ass to get your hands on. I'm trying to get it, though, in real time. But Just put it there as a PDF.
Yeah, that's wild, man. I don't understand why they don't
I've got
want
to log in.
They don't want the reg shit. It's not even a reg, it's just a bloody like a reg for comment. I reckon it'll get watered down and put in at some point, but it doesn't need to be mandated. Like, this is a thing. The mandated regs, there's no such thing as a mandated reg. What they have is some guidelines that you need to follow. But if you're generally, if you're like, here's a thing. Years ago, I'd done some garden lighting, and the regs say it should be 300 deep with
A change of substance, so you can you start going,
and then the
that
electrical
sand there?
Tape over the top and that. Well, it couldn't go 300 down. It could only go just under the surface because the water table was so high. And it was just getting.
You've got to do what you've got to do,
Yeah. So you can deviate from that, and you can give a good reason. It's called engineering judgment. So all this moaning about it doesn't really matter. What you have to look out for is the snakes that come round afterwards and go, "Oh, you've not done that to regulation." It's like, shut up, mate.
It's just, I don't know. It just seems a bit odd to me. And the thing I want to get across today is, you're meant to design. You're meant to know what you're doing. That's what separates us from non-electricians. So we can look and go, oh, this is going to be bi-directional. I'll select the appropriate protected device. That's your job. It's to design a circuit, select the appropriate protected device, and install it and sign it off and everything. It just seems like some manufacturer goes, oh, you know what we want to do? We want everyone to use this bit of kit. Because let's remember as well, I think in the first one, Will says they don't make one. They don't make an actual bi-directional RCBO. I don't think Fusebox make what I read allegedly online. I'm not saying alleged because they're going to assume I'm saying I don't think they do. I read it. Proteus make one. Hager have brought one out just recently, randomly
of course
enough.
I have.
And it's like, so now, but I don't, are they going to get themselves more sales out of it? Because all that's going to happen is the Chinese manufacturer are going to bang one out in the next 3 months. They'll just come up. But I don't know what the thought is behind it.
I guarantee you, if it needs to be done, Verso will have them quick. No problem. They'll have them quick, no problem. But again, is it a big need to rush and get it done? Listen to Sam with his engineering judgment, Paul Cook, you rude arsehole. I don't know. I feel like, do you know what I think it is? I think Hager are struggling at the moment and pulling all the moves they can with the weight they have because, you know, that market has got quite competitive lately, hasn't it? There's a lot of fuse board brands. There's a lot of cheaper fuse board brands that deliver, you know, like Hager are overpriced now for what they are. Compared to everyone else, they're overpriced. They're trading off the Hager name now.
And obviously in the competitive space, that people are going to fit fuse boards, aren't they? Not fuse boxes. Someone saying the fuse box one's coming out next month, so apparently. I don't think everyone else will be far behind.
No.
Just more stock to carry. More expensive, and carrying all that stock's gonna cost money. So,
but Hager are trading off their name and the fact they've been out about for a while. Like, a lot of people won't fit like some of the newer boards and stuff like that, like Verso and Fusebox and stuff, because they're worried they're gonna fall over like Live did and SBS.
Live haven't fell over, are they?
Has Live gone? No, Live hasn't. SBS, sorry.
No, Live's all right.
And the way they've gone. And they want to be able to update it over the next couple of years. But
when you fit a domestic fuse board for a customer, are you guarantee it's going to be serviceable for 10 years? Or what? Are you just going, on the day, this is done, dusted, and
right?
Look
at Wilex. How many different types of breakers have Wilex got?
Well, MEM, MEM Shield 1, 2, and 3. Oh, let's change the shape every time. I mean,
I know,
as far as, I'm concerned, there was absolutely nothing wrong with MEM Shield 2. They just changed it for the sake of changing it when they got bought by Eaton. It was a really good product, solid as a rock. Those fuse boards are bulletproof. I mean,
I'll tell you what, MEM Shield 2, they were Type A 20 years ago as well. They had some future-proofing to them.
But yeah, it's like, I think it boils down to it. This is my opinion, yeah, is AFDD is a super-duper. Yeah, they do all this mad shit. They're going to get better, especially if you update the Hager ones. What are they going to try? What are they going to come up with next? What will they come up with next? It's bi-directional RCDs this week, but double-ended RCDs this week. What's the next thing going to go? Oh, guess what we've invented? And you know that stupid thing you did, Dave, for that logging the RCBO that could connect to the internet, some shit that was a joke and now it's becoming more likely. Because
do you know what they did invent?
They need to sell more shit every year.
Do you know what Hager have done? And I quite like it, I'm not going to lie. They've invented a It's like a double size fucking
Dildo.
MCB that goes in the fuse board where the spares are, and you pull it
Oh,
out
it's
and
a
it's actually a
torch.
torch.
That's
That's
been
good.
about for 20 years. They're very popular in Europe, they are. They put them in
I
there.
love
So
that. I
when you
think
pull
that's
it out,
really
it turns
good.
on.
Yeah.
I
I
just
think that's really
think
good.
we get the good thing about podcasts, we get to go on the record, yeah? What's next? What they're gonna say? Oh, you know what you need now? You need RCD, AFDD, MCB Type Z for
No,
everything
I think
that's
it's going
got
to
a
be
light
something
on.
like fire suppression in the board is going to be a new thing, and all the boards are going to come with like a thing that's in the board that suppresses fire.
You
Some
can buy
bullshit
them.
like that.
You can
You
already get
can
them. Buy
buy
them. Couple of them.
Yeah, but I guarantee it's like a thing that you're going to have built into the chassis of the board from now on.
And
But I'm
guess who'll
still
bring it out
expecting
first?
the smart consumer unit to appear at some stage, where you've got the instead of this individual nonsense, some centralized control, and that might not be a bad thing necessarily.
Is that your board, Dave, with a load of
But
mix of RC mixed up AFDDs in it, different manufacturers? Has it not instantly caught fire? Because that's what they tell us will happen if we mix manufacturers, they'll instantly catch fire and kill everyone in the building.
no, but I tell you what, there's something weird going on here, and I don't know what it is, but oh, I'm not going to do it now. For some reason, the fuse box one trips off when I put just a fan on it. Trips off with an RCD fault. But if I put the fan heater on it, it's perfectly fine. It's weird.
That's
Can't
wild.
explain it.
As we found
So,
out, with your computer not working. They've got computers, haven't they? So they're going to break.
Savo,
they are, yeah.
can we do? Go on.
I'm going to see if I can do it now. Number three.
The other one I thought is Heger, a massive
Just stop
Heger.
doing it now. Stop doing it.
With Heger
Savo.
being a massive European company, why do we need a UK specific reg for these RCDs that are sold all over Europe? That's what I don't get.
I don't know, but let me. That's a boring question. Savo, tell me about.
I've never been so offended in my life.
Savo, what is the what was the result of your video? I haven't quite had a gander at it yet. With your
Oh, don't bother.
AFD,
It's fucking boring.
well, I want to watch it. I just haven't got round to it. I've been very busy. Tell me, give me a summary of what's good, what's not. Did you get the Hague of RC AFDD to work?
I did once on camera, yes. So
With these
it is
knobs.
there on camera
But you haven't been able to
with
replicate
my
it?
knob. No, sadly not.
Oh, wow.
I can't think what else to say about that
Was
particularly,
there
but
So what is so have you
for
got like a
fuck's
little
sake.
hierarchy of what ones that are good and what ones are bad?
They're all the same. They're all made to a British standard, aren't they, really? It's just the Eagle ones don't work.
They're all kind of the same. It's just that the Heger and the Chint have more cleverness built into them.
Am I right saying, David? I think I'm going to make a thing here. Yeah, that they're all the same. They're all made to the British standard. However, after watching your excellent video, it turns out that there are two different tests you can do to confirm operation, and every other manufacturer used one test, and Heger went, "We're going to use the other one." So the Heger ones.
Well, I can't say for sure that that's the case. Chint might have done the same thing, but I didn't realise there were two tests. But yes,
They were
but
cheating.
the Heger have.
You know
Chint
that
are really
time.
big. I didn't realise how big they were.
Not a big legal case going through where car manufacturers made cars that realised it was on a test rig and their fuel economy tested.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you've got
VW.
a computer and a device, you can make it think it's under test in a lab. If you've got a very specific British standard lab test, you can program a device with the computer in to recognise that test and operate. It's just that Heger clicked the wrong button and they don't operate. And then
You're
they
going to keep
win.
using that stupid fucking wank thing, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I've nicked that now. Unless
So
you copyright strike me on YouTube, and be a complete bastard about it. But yeah,
did everyone else's RCBO work? Sorry, AFDD
AFDD.
work.
I managed to show them all working, but I had the biggest trouble
Consistently.
with Heger, Chint, and Wilex.
Oh,
Wilex, I was
okay.
quite surprised about, but I managed to show them all working in the end.
Oh, right, Jamie, you've got to go back to your question because I've just been told off by Ollie. Jamie's question is very relevant with
I'll do that stuff.
BSEN
I'll do that
emphasizing
stuff.
the EN bit and harmonization. What are the EU versions of the EIT publishing for regarding bidirectional RCBs?
So let me
Shut
explain.
up.
I
That's a
thought,
fucking
right.
good question.
In specific, Heger are massive Hager, I'll use them as a thing because we love beating them. Hager, a European wide protection manufacturer, is very big in France and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you know, countries don't care about. So the UK reg that says you shall fit by double ended RCDs for generation, but bi directional current or whatever it is a UK specific reg. It's got the numbers on the end that indicates a UK specific reg. If it's that important, why is it not a BSEN number? Why has it not got a reg all over Europe to say that? Or is it? Why are we coming up with our own reg? It's almost like Beamer have forced it out in the UK, but not anywhere else. So I don't get it. Why is it not being catered for everywhere else in Europe? Are they not using EVs? Do they not have batteries? Do they not have solar? Do they not do it? It's the same gear.
I tell you what, Europe has had solar a lot longer than we have, especially the Spanish and Greek islands I go to.
And have they got double-ended RCDs? Who knows? I don't know.
Bet they ain't.
I don't think they care much.
No.
Some of the wiring I've seen.
Yeah.
Fundamentally to me, and I've said this this week and no one's sued me yet, is a load of manufacturers got RCDs out there, and if you put them onto the wrong kit, they'll burn out the resistor and they won't trip. They won't trip on the test button. And now they've gone, these don't work, we're getting returns. And I think this is a reg to go, oh no, you should have put the right one in, we're not paying for your return. I think it's to stop returns a lot of return product. And that they've got the right to say, you fitted it wrong, we're not giving you the money back. But this really knocks it on the head for them, I think. And I think it's manufacturer alone, I think there's a bit of a scam going off. That's my stance.
It's just one of them things. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just one of them things that they're putting out there so as you have to do. It's just another little sales stream that they're going to make everyone do. And most people are going to do it because they like to follow the rules and be that guy. And when you don't do it, you're going to be a bit of a pariah. However, this whole thing leads me on to something that happened to me this week. And that is, I got a fuse ball change at the last knock-ins. So I went to CEF Herne Bay, shout out to them because it was in Herne Bay. They're the only CEF I actually like going to because they always do me excellent deals. And there's a new fuse ball brand. It's Niglon. You know Niglon.
I'll just cough and then I won't make a
Niglon. I knew they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time, but they're pushing they've got a new fuse ball range. And let me tell you, it's diabolical. It's diabolical. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, obviously I was cheating on Verso straight away, but I didn't have, like,
you needed that day.
Like, I needed that day. So I went in there and there's like, they're quite cheap. They're like £10 for an AFDD. It's not an AFDD, an RCBO. The board's nice and well made, but like, I broke the head off of an RCBO screw. They've got...
Did you have a torque screwdriver? Because that's another thing. They brought in torque settings to stop returns on snapped heads.
The other thing
manufacturers did for being...
Yeah, cops. But the thing is, you couldn't get them started because they put, what do they call it? That blue stuff, threadlock, on all of it.
Yeah, so
to get it started, you had to use a flathead because their machine's so shit that even my Weira screwdrivers didn't fit in it properly. So Weira PZ2 on the terminal, on the earth terminal and the neutral, you're doing it up and it's just slipping. So in the end, I had to use a flathead to do it up and broke it straight off. It is, I don't know what's going on with these fuse board manufacturers. They're just not thinking properly.
What's the worst board you've ever installed?
That one. And then the Skolmore Elysium board, because you have to use about 8 different screwdrivers to do all different things.
Does anyone remember Nulek, which was New In Ear's own brand? If anyone gets one out, get it, mate. Nulek were the worst boards ever made. They looked like they were made out of old VHS, you know, the containers that VHS cassettes came in, that crap plastic. They were made out of that. They were absolutely awful.
Honestly, that Niglon board is a one to avoid, and I'm not saying it because I'm bumming Verso. They had fuse box, which I'm like, whatever. They had fuse box, they had Luden, which I should have probably gone for, and then they had that Niglon board, and that Niglon board is absolutely gash.
Aren't you bumming Luden, Dave? Yeah. How are you finding them?
Yeah, not that they're paying me to
being rude.
They were kind enough to invite Linda and I to their UK headquarters in Essex a few weeks ago. and they gave us the benefit of their time, which I was quite appreciative of.
What do you reckon of their gear?
Perfectly fine. I fitted two Luden boards since. I've only been two consuming it since, and they've both been Luden. And yeah, I like them. I've got nothing bad to say about Luden.
You know, when you're buying Schmitz gear as well, fuse boards and stuff like that, you know, if it's to the British standard and it's perfectly fine, that's all right, isn't it? It doesn't need to be like glitter covered or anything like that.
Here's the
it
thing, need right? To
be top bollocks. You're fitting it once.
No, but I have come across stuff like Sam saying, I have come across stuff where you just try and do it up to the right torque setting and it chews up or whatever. And you think, okay, well, that's shit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the things that make it more difficult than it needs to be. Like having threadlock on all of the screw heads is a nightmare because you don't need to put that much effort into just putting away the earths and the neutral.
I'll tell you the reason why I like Luden. A few years ago, I did a video where I incorrectly installed an SPD. Well, no, I didn't incorrectly.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah. You did.
I was installing this Luden board, this Luden off-the-shelf solution, and they kind of got the board backwards. They put the bigger cutout where your tails were going through.
Oh, the knockouts weren't in line with the right terminals, were they?
Yeah, and I moaned about it. And you know what? I got a message from them a few days later going, oh, we saw your video about that, and you're right, and we've now changed that at the factory to make sure that doesn't happen again. I thought, oh, well, that's nice. That's nice. I mean,
that is exactly... A lot of manufacturers say, oh, we take electricians' feedback, and I think, do you? Do you really? And obviously,
yeah.
Like,
I think that's like a lot of these companies really haven't been doing that. So people like Verso and sounds like Luden, they will take on board what you're saying and try and implement it at some point on their next batch.
Yeah, because they're in tune with assholes like us who are talking about it at the ground floor, you know, and they take that on board and they react to it. And it's just nice to know that because you moan all the time about something where you install it and you think, the guy who designed this, they haven't tried to actually fit it onto the wall because this is shit.
The oven,
it doesn't match up. The screw was the wrong place, whatever.
The fact is the oven, but you know in like electricians' magazines and stuff like that, are they advertising to buyers and designers or are they advertising to Sparks? Because they advertise to Sparks. Anyone that wants to advertise to Sparks should say, do you know what? An electrician came to us and says this was wrong and we've rectified it now. Is that not the best message? Like, oh, that's
yeah, that is
that's
the best
such
message.
A good message to actual Sparks. Go, we made this wrong and someone told us and we've now done this so it's better. Tell that story. That's such a powerful thing to an actual real Spark. Going, oh, yeah, they're listening to me. You're like, your screws are shit. We put better screws in. Nice one. Well,
it's like,
I'll try you again.
It's like that Skullmore board, the Eleusinian board, yeah? They must have never had anyone fit that for them as a test run, because if you've got to use two screwdrivers to put away your live neutrals and earths, that is just a fucking nightmare. Like, it's
thing. They contacted me when they were bringing that product out saying, what do you hate about fitting fuse boards? What can we do that's right? And I gave them some feedback based on my own experience. And I think Nick probably did too, and maybe some others, but I don't know if the product was already out in the world by that point or if they'd already sort of committed to it, so to speak. And
has any electrician ever said, do you know what I want on my boards? A little spirit level that's shite. No one's ever said that.
No one said that.
I know what? I haven't got my own stabular boat level that's absolutely bang on to like half a degree, like 0.1 of a degree. I need a little shitty, cheap Christmas cracker level in my board because I cannot be bothered because I'm so shit to get my board level. I can't be able to get my thingy. No one ever asked for that. Why did they put that in? I don't know what brand it was, but what a fucking stupid pony idea that is. Honest to God. Whereas one EV charger manufacturer says, our EV chargers need one screwdriver. Well, fair enough. If you're banging them in for Optimus, that's going to be a bonus, isn't it? Banging them in, one screwdriver, What a selling point for actual real electricians.
I think with anything like that, for electricians, the ease of fitting is such an important thing. Like, that's why I like the Verso board, not just because I'm bummed by them, but the fact is
It was BG, I didn't even know that. Sorry, it was BG.
But you can just put a little pin on the wall. It's got the little triangle cut in the centre of the board, and it's easy to sort of level up. You don't need that shitty little level because it's got a centre point in it. Things like that that have been well thought through really make the difference to you when you're on the ground installing it. Because I don't care what you say, how many boards you've done, for some reason, they are like a little bit stressful. You want to get to that point that you know you've put it away. Like, I don't know. I always feel like that.
You know, any other bit.
It's the same with everything. I wrote a blog years ago about floodlights because I was so sick of buying floodlights. So they do floodlights where you couldn't get them on the wall without fully taking them apart to get the bracket on first. And then the hole was too big for your normal size screw.
So you have to use a washer or whatever.
You never had a fucking washer. Yeah, exactly. But TimeGuard made a product where it came with the bracket already detached and the screw hole was the right size. You could put it on, then you could put the thing on. Then I did a blog about that. And we must be going like 7 years ago or something. And it's just nice when you get a manufacturer who actually thinks, okay, someone out in the field is going to be up a ladder doing this. What do we need to do to make it easier for them? It's like all the time when you have a fancy light fitting and they don't put the bayonet screws in, so you can't just rotate it and drop it down. You've got to try and get a screw in there.
If you're putting one light or one outdoor light up and you have to take a light apart, no one really cares. But if you're going around doing loads of them, you're going to go with a brand that's easier. And Dave's froze, so that's why I'm filling this in. But yeah, it just...
It's probably the guy who's buying your product and sticking it up on the ceiling or the wall. You want to keep them sweet, to be fair.
Keep electricians sweet. That's the moral story. The moral story is keep electricians sweet. Make a decent, a just good enough product that's reasonably decent that it can be installed easily. Dave's completely gone now. He's just absolutely gone. Make a decent product, easy to install, make it simple to buy and use, and you're onto a winner, aren't you?
Yeah, do you know what? I think there's a lot to be said for that. It's like almost every light fitting shit.
Yeah.
Almost every light fitting shit. What's that about? Why can't someone sit down and go, let's make this really easy to install?
I'm guessing no one wants to pay for them. The customers don't want to pay for them. So this
is but why has it got to be expensive? Like, I'm sure if you just move the connect, like, put Waygos, like, almost every light fitting I change, I replace with the shitty little connector block with Waygos.
Yeah, but they're not going to put Waygos in there because they make the light £3 more and they won't sell. They're basically saying, here's a token gesture, you're going to replace it with something. We're not going to bother doing that. I mean, the only people that put Waygos in to something to use and they take that on the chin because they buy real Waygos are the boxes called, the black boxes. The little junction boxes come in some Waygos in, don't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Credit them.
What are they called? How can we not know?
I don't know. The little black junction box is coming three Waggos in, and it's like they've made a conscious decision to go, we're going to put some form of connection in here. We're going to put some connection device in here. We're not going to put four connectors in a shit chocolate block. We're going to put three Waggos in. We're going to go on Barm off Waggo and take that hit, and we're going to sell them. They're going to be more money, and Sparks are going to Barm because there's three Waggos rattling around the side. Why can I not remember the name of them? But fair play to them for doing
whisker
that.
Whisker boxes.
When you're doing me like, oh, I've got three Waggos here. Go get another one. Need four or whatever. But it's a good, it's a good little thing. Oh, you
historically,
go, I've got no Waggos left. Oh, there'll be some in a Waggo box on my van. Great, like.
historically, I hate whisker boxes because they got on their 4x4 whisker boxes. They got the little tabs and they break off. As soon as it gets cold, they break off instantly. You don't know whether they're done up or undone, and you pull them out and it's broken off. It drives me insane. And then you've got to take everything apart. They're really difficult to make off an armoured into. Really difficult.
Oh, I don't think they are. I think they make off an armoured grate, to be honest.
What are you talking about? How do you screw it on? You have to screw it in, then put the thing on, and then tighten it on. It's so annoying.
Like a normal electrician would.
Well, no, you do it first.
When I was doing a load of lighting down the mine, I put in a 200 of them. I thought these are a bit shit. Then after I got work, I was like, oh, they're actually quite good.
No, there's better ones. The Hensel box is so much better. But I like the fact that Whisker.
It'll be ringing you every day for a week now. It'll be ringing you every day for a week.
But I like the fact that they try and do, like, they come up with the little ring that goes on to try and make it easier, the little earth ring.
Yeah, and they've got the bracket that you screw to the wall, don't they? And you can clip the box to the wall, which is pretty good.
They do lots of things like that, but there is better boxes out there, much better boxes.
Yes, that'd be a good podcast. If anyone's got any quality innovations, if anyone's got anything, they're going, Oh, what about if you're sat there now going, what about this thing that does this really well? Tell us, we'll do a pod on it. Like, what manufacturers are absolutely changing the? Who's actually doing game changers?
I'll tell you, doing game changers is JB Quick Fix boxes. They are fantastic. The orange boxes that take the Wago's in. They are. Oh, yeah, they're better than a Wago box. They're better than a Choc box. The Wago box is £3. They are just like £1.70. A Choc box is £1. They sit right in between. They're better quality. They're easier to use. They're a neater job. Mate,
you know what I do quite have a look of? You know those... is it what's the ones where you push the cable in the push fit?
Quick Fix. Yeah, no, just Quick Wire.
Quick Wire. They've had a resurgence recently, but that came out 2 years ago when I was working at a printer's and I had to do a load of lighting mods. And I was like, I want to buy these because they're not really out yet. We're just advertising them. But that was a couple of years ago. And I think they're having a re-push on that, I've noticed, because eFix had a video on it.
Apparently,
I've really had to use those.
Apparently, they're not great for testing. Savo?
The Quick Wire stuff, I like.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Is it good? Is it as good as it looks good? It solves the problem. Is it as good as it looks?
I haven't tried the 24 amp one yet because I looked for it recently online. I just couldn't find anywhere selling it. Maybe I missed it. But I use their splitters and I use their switch and load quite a lot.
I'm pleased that because it does look like it's a really good innovation. That is my point on the Pod Awards this year. It's even though it's a bit old, they're having a repush. It just looked like a really good innovation, real good time saver. Obviously, it's an expensive bit of kit, but I'm guessing you outweigh that on the price and the fact it'll fit for a downlight and all that kind of stuff, do you?
Customers paying, and it's the simplicity of the install and the robustness of it. I'm all for.
If that's as good as you say it is, I'd say that's a
I'm gonna have a look at them because I've never actually given them a fair shake because a friend of mine fitted them and he said, to be honest with you, it's a fucking nightmare. So
you know what people say about that? You know the little yellow cutters that go around armored cable.
Yeah,
is it the? I can't remember makes, but the little yellow one that scores on
armor slice.
Armor slice. I got one and I was like, this is fucking shite. And I was desperate one day, I didn't have an axle, and I used it again. I was like, oh, actually, it's not that bad. And I didn't invest the time in, I didn't invest enough time getting used to it. And now that is all I use, the armor slicers. And then I went on to the exhaust cutter that Joint took it on. But they are brilliant, really good bit of kit. And at first I said they were shit. So there's definitely some innovation out there. But yeah, if you've got any good ones, let us know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. The CK armor slice. I'm going to have to try this quick wire stuff because everyone seems to really like it. And the only person I know didn't like it is, might be wrong.
People are loving it. I don't know why. Someone tell me, I might even ring up and ask, go, why didn't it take off the first time? Or did they have manufacturing problems? Because it seems like they've done a re-release, maybe beforehand they couldn't get it or something, but it was out a few years ago, and I thought, oh, that looks like really good. Then when it didn't take off, I thought, oh, maybe it's not as good as it looks, but people just said, I might have to go buy some, just try, so I won't use it because I'm not an arse basher. But we shall see.
But house bashing, quick fix junction boxes, the orange ones, fantastic. I love them.
I've not tried one yet. I've no need. I actually don't know, to be honest.
Opinion?
I've used one or two. They seem perfectly fine. It's not something that I've had to particularly invest in.
But let's face it,
boring
who's,
answer. Well
who's
done.
Actually still using brown for traditional junction boxes, the round ones? Can even Barnum ones?
Do you know what? Do you know how they used to wire houses back in the day with them? That's like a dark art. I really do. When I get up there and I see like 15 of them about in a loft, I'm like, fucking, I'm going to be here a while.
I would rather just get
so fucking time consuming, so fiddly to use. I did actually fit one a couple of weeks ago on a job where I was like, oh, I've got one of them on the van, fuck it, I'll put one in. And it was such a ball ache to get everything trimmed and placed in the right place.
If you get it wrong,
I lost one of the fucking screws, it pinged off. And I was like, oh, you fucker.
Or you take one, you go to a job down 18 flights of stairs, grab one out of the van, and when you get up there, it's the one you've nicked all the other screws out of.
Yeah.
They're dead, aren't they? That's another one. If you've got any dead technology like that that we're not going to use anymore, they are dead. A Wago in any, put a Wago in any box, it's better than that. You're going to,
you know,
gonna cross off hours.
Do you know what is the most selling cable connection?
What the fuck?
Jesus Christ.
Christ on a bike.
What the fuck is wrong with him? Josh Jr., 100
oh,
quid.
Jesus
just...
Must have a gambling
do
problem.
Do I get any of that?
The fuck? We don't
hell.
Need I don't need. Fucking we don't need hell. That. And what the fuck are we going to do with that?
Give it away. Should we give it away?
That is a good idea.
We'll give it away.
Is he selling drugs? I know he does cost before, but...
Do you know
Right.
what the
Cheers,
most...
Josh, but we'll do something with that.
We'll give it away.
That's
what's the
thrown,
biggest
isn't
selling
it?
cable connector? What do you think is the biggest selling cable connector?
I know the answer to this, so I'm not going to say.
It's wire nuts.
Dave's that shocked. Josh Judas chucked 100 quid in the chat that he's froze. This is not
yeah,
great
wire nuts
continuity.
Are the number one seller in the whole world.
I believe that's a statistic by Ideal, who are the biggest manufacturer of jointing technology in the world. Because
they
do
are.
All
And
sorts
do you know
of
why?
Shit.
Because they use in the US, China, India, and the Middle East.
Have you ever actually used one?
No, but apparently they're a really good way of connecting wire.
I need to get. They had some of the kit in there. I need to get my hands on one. I've never even reused an old one, but something I ought to try. I want to get a wire nut. If anyone's got a wire nut, send me one, or give me one, or beg me one.
Apparently, when if you get them on good, like you put them together, you screw them on, like you can hang off that connection.
Right, that needs trying out.
That's a bit of content for you, mate. You're
I'll
welcome.
try that. I'll do that on Actual Electrical Content. Follow me on Instagram for
And
shit like that.
do they comply in this country? That's another question.
They are firm and secure, and I believe they're not. What's happened with them is no manufacturers come along and made a regulation where you can't specifically use them. So as long as their manufacturing instructions fit, then yeah, they're fine.
I'm not back on.
Because some lights still have them. Some light
I've
fittings still have them.
Never seen one that's not a legacy item chucked in a thing, but yeah. I don't know if I trust
Am
it,
I here?
but then again, that's just
You
the thing.
are.
You're here, Dave.
But we're calling it a day now. We're going to wrap it up, I think.
We're going to send Dave with £100. Josh Jr. said we're going to buy Dave an Ethernet cable because Wi-Fi is dog shit. We never rely on Wi-Fi anymore. Many moons ago, I sent Sam a Wi-Fi cable when we used to get pissed on the podcast. When we used to sit here and drink every night.
Well, we
I
were
had to send
we were
Sam.
talking about this before, weren't we? We
Yeah, I
used
had
to
to send
sit here
Sam
and
a
get
cable,
battered.
and you were slurring that much that when it jittered, it sounded like you couldn't speak. So I sent you an internet cable. We've been wired ever since. So yeah, we're going to insist from now that all guests are on the
Do you
wired
know I
internet.
used to run this podcast back in the day off of the hotspot on my phone?
Yeah, I know you did. That's why I sent you cables, getting on my tits. And I used to crawl out my garage shit-faced in the early days.
Shit-faced. Like there were some weekends, like I would crawl out into the into the garden, absolutely smashed out my nut.
Oh, look, Dave's back. Hello there.
Right. Electricians podcast. We're out.
Thank you very much to the 190 people in the chat. Bye.